They've never seen me slap their mama. Amen. And yet it was Calvary that made the difference in their daddy even before they breathed their first breath. I thank God for Calvary tonight and the goodness of our God. Psalm 7, if you will, stand with me. And I want to get right into preaching this evening. Times are getting away from us a little bit. Psalm 7, begin reading in verse number 1 down through the end of this psalm. The Bible said, O Lord my God, in Thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me, and deliver me, lest He tear my soul like a lion, rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy, let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. Arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of the people can pass thee about for their sakes. Therefore return thou on high. The Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. O let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the hearts and reins. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death, and ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity, and hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He made a pit and digged it, and is fallen in the ditch which he had made. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own pate. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Father, thank you for the word of God and the good opportunity we have this evening to read it, Lord, in the house of the Lord. Thank you for bringing us this place tonight. I pray for the next little while you'd help us make clear our thoughts, and Lord, the truths you've laid upon our heart from this passage. May, Lord, we communicate your word, Lord, in a just way, in a way, Lord, that would make sense to your people, and God would challenge their hearts, strengthen them in the faith and in the things of God. Lord, we understand that we're dealing with an enemy, Lord, in this hour, and Father, I pray that we draw strength from the word of God this evening. Help us, Lord, to, Lord, not just survive, but God, to thrive in these last days in the battles and warfares, Lord, that we've encountered. And Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this evening. I'm interested tonight in Psalm 7. We've been trying to take on the Psalms. We began in Psalm 1 just on Wednesday nights, preaching through. And going to take a little while, but I'm interested in Psalm 7. If you will, look at the heading of this Psalm. If you got a good study Bible, it says, Shigion of David, which he sang unto the Lord, concerning the words of Cush the Benjamite. When we come to this psalm, the background, the setting is set in that very heading, and we understand this is a psalm of David. It's a psalm that David has penned and David has sung, and it is, according to the title, is written behind the circumstance of David's life with an individual by the name of Cush the Benjamite. When you begin to do a study on this phrase and upon this heading of this psalm, Cush the Benjamite, it's the only time that is referenced in the Word of God. There's no mention of him in David's life in the historical books of David's life and kingdom, and yet evidently he's very real, and he's a very real individual that was creating, according to this Saul, creating great trouble for David in David's life. When we've read this psalm tonight, David said a lot of things about how this individual, but Gerald has told lies on it, how this individual is trying to persecute David, how this individual is trying to destroy David, and we're interested in this individual tonight. As we've said, we don't know nothing about this character apart from this psalm, but it's believed by most, as you read after other men, that he was probably one of Saul's men, one of Saul's band of men, one of the men that fought alongside Saul and searched cast out the very life of David. Warren Wiersbe calls him one of King Saul's fawning flatterers. And it's believed that this man was a diehard follower after Saul and literally took it upon himself to bring David down, to hunt David down, to destroy David, and that he might gain some kind of elevation in the eyes of Saul and in the lab. I'm interested in adding Cush. When you begin to study his name, here's what you find. And his name literally means full of darkness. Full of darkness, and he's at war with David. He's seeking, as we made mention of already, seeking David's destruction. And I believe tonight that Cush in this psalm takes off a good picture, if you will, or a good type of Satan himself in warring against the people of God. Let me say some things by way of introduction about how that Cush can easily be set as a type or a figure of that of our enemy and our adversary, the devil. Notice with me, I think he's a picture or a type of Satan in his persecution. Notice what the Bible said again in verse number 1. David said, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me and deliver me. He said in verse number, let me find my passage, verse number 4. If I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul. And so Cush, when we find David speaking of him in Psalm 7, he says something about how then Cush is bringing persecution and seeking to persecute the very life of David. The word persecute means to run after, usually with hostile intent. It reveals that Cush desired to make things difficult upon David. Is that not what the devil desires to do in your life and in mine and in our church? Amen. He's running after us. He's seeking after us. And my friend, with a hostile intent, with a design in mind for difficulty to be brought upon you and it. I want to remind you this evening, we do have an enemy in the devil. He is not our friend. He is our adversary. He is our enemy. And as children of God, we are at war, and he is at war, amen, with God and his church. And so we find tonight that Cush sought, amen, just to make things difficult on David. He wanted David to be troubled. He wanted David, my friend, to feel the hot fire of persecution breathing down his neck. And that's exactly what the devil's out to do this evening. Amen. Fiery darts in the wicked one. Our adversary, as we'll see in a moment, amen, is walking about. And then David said, and this individual Cush the Benjamite, and he's seeking to bring persecution upon me. Amen. Can I remind you this evening? Amen. The devil is not interested in your life and in man in our church being at ease and my friend having a tea party. He's interested in warfare. He's interested in difficulty being brought in your family and in my family and our Christian life. He's interested, my friend, in bringing persecution. Not only in persecution is he a type of Satan, but notice with me in this psalm that in his picture that David, amen, gives of Cush the Benjamite, he's a type of Satan. Notice what he said in verse number 2. Lest he tear my soul like what? Like a lion rending it in pieces while there is none to deliver. Here David pictures Cush as a lion tearing and rending his soul in pieces. He's not pictured, my friend, as some little kitty cat you can set in your lap. David said he's a lion that is seeking to rip my very soul apart. Is that not how, my friend, that the devil is with you and I? The very purpose of Cush is clearly seen here, and that he wanted not only to make things difficult in David's life, but he wanted to destroy David's very life. Amen. We learned this about the devil in the New Testament in 1 Peter 5 and in verse number 8, where Peter said,
And we is to be sober, be vigilant, or your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said about the devil in his earthly ministry, he called him the thief. He said, the thief cometh for but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. The ultimate plan of the devil in our life, man, friend, is to destroy you and destroy me, destroy your family, to destroy your testimony, to destroy your effectiveness for God. The devil, amen, is as a lion seeking to rip you in apart. Can I say tonight? And the devil doesn't play fair. He waits till, amen, our weakest moment. He waits till our most vulnerable point in our life that, amen, he can latch out like an old man. You've seen it on TV, amen, on National Geographic or something. Amen, that old man, he begins to stalk his prey. Amen, and he waits, my friend. He'll, amen, the weakest among them gets on bad self. And then he lunges in, my friend, from the pounce. Amen, and he destroys that helpless animal and rips it apart, blood flowing out of its mouth. Amen, and leaves a testimony behind that the lion overcame that animal in the wilderness. Can I say, and that's what the devil's design is tonight, amen, about this church and about, amen, this world this evening. He walks about, he lurks about, he's waiting about, amen, for an opportunity whereby he might latch out and destroy your life and leave behind a testimony that the devil ripped another child of God up. Amen, I'm telling you this evening, again, the devil doesn't play fair. The devil doesn't fade fair. The devil tonight, amen, is vicious. The devil is out. And many churches have been torn to shreds because of the old lion, the enemy of the child of God. Amen, has sunk his teeth in and divided and ripped apart, amen, the work of God. There's been many families and have wound up in divorce court because the devil, amen, come in and ripped them apart. There's been, amen, many a parent-child relationships that my friend have been severed because the old lion found the foothold. Amen, sunk his claws and his teeth in, and tonight he rejoices, amen, in them testimonies left behind of the devil, my friend, as a lad, rending and tearing and destroying the lives of God's children. Amen, can I say an ad in his persecution and in his purpose or his picture that David paints said, Cush the Benjamin, full of darkness, is a picture of Satan himself. And I like this. Notice with me in verse 14, 15, and 16. And Cush is a picture or type of Satan, not only in his purpose and picture, but also in his punishment. Notice what David said. And if you doubt that Cush is a good type of the devil, amen, listen what David said about him in verse 14. He said, behold, he travaileth with iniquity. Is that not the devil tonight? Amen, travailing with iniquity, full of darkness, full of sin. Amen, full of vileness and wickedness. Amen, he travaileth with iniquity and hath conceived mischief. Is that not the devil tonight? Amen, walking about, he's designed mischief for your life. He's designed somewhere, some way, amen, mischief to befall this ministry and this church. If he can, he'll bring it to pass, amen, and brought forth falsehood. Is that not like the devil? Amen. I mean, Jesus said, and he was the very father of lies. Every lie that's ever been told, amen, the devil is the father of it. And so David said about Cush, and my friend, he's full of iniquity, travailing with iniquity, conceived mischief, and brought forth falsehood. And notice what he's doing. He made a pit and digged it. Is that not what the devil's out to do tonight? Amen. He's got snares laid in life's path for you. Amen. For your children, he's got snares laid for them. Amen. He's dug pits that he intends for them to fall into. And so Cush, I mean right on down the line, amen, is a type of the devil himself. Notice what David said. He made a pit and digged it, and is falling into the ditch which he made. In other words, David said, can you imagine? imagine this. Amen. This Cush is out trying to get David, and he spends all day digging a hole in the ground, and he lays it all out and covers it up. Amen. And he's thinking, man, any time David's going to come back. And then Cush forgets where he laid the snare. Amen. And David comes up on him one day. Amen. The very pit that Cush had dug for David. Amen. Cush is down there looking up out of it. Amen. Wondering how he got in the mess that he's in. Amen. Can I say that's how the Lord is? Amen. When the old devil gets some design in mind and he's going to wipe you out and destroy you. Amen. The Lord's got a way of turning it all back on his head. And the thing that the devil meant to destroy you, the Lord uses it to wear him out. Somebody say amen. Amen. The Lord has power over him. Watch this. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violent dealing shall come down upon his own feet. In other words, I think David is saying, amen, this enemy's on my trail. The Lord's going to deal with it. He's trying to destroy me. He's trying to make it difficult on me. But the Lord's going to make sure that when all is said and done, that Cush is not going to wipe me out. Amen. He may turn the pressure up. He may make it hard on me. The Lord's going to return it all back on his own head. And I say tonight, I hate the devil. I hate what he does to God's children. I hate what he's done to many churches across the land. I hate how he's wrecked preachers' lives, and destroyed families, I hate how he's taken young people full of potential, amen, to do something for God, and he's run them off in the world and destroyed their name, and they'll never be what they could have been. Amen, I hate the devil tonight. Old Papa used to say, amen, me and the devil ain't on terms, on speaking terms, so, amen, when you see him, tell him I don't like him, amen, can I say tonight, amen, we ought to hate the devil, amen, we ought to hate everything that he's out to do, and everything he has done, thank the Lord, one of these days, amen, every design, every snare he's ever laid, everything he's ever done to make life difficult on us, the Lord's going to return it back on him, and that sucker's going to burn in the lake of fire, amen, and be tormented forever and ever. He'll never bust up another family. He'll never run another young person in the world, he'll never divide God's children, amen. The day is coming, when the Lord's going to deal with the devil. David, my friend, I think David is looking around and he knows that, my friend, what Cush is out to do to it. And he begins to find comfort in the fact that the Lord is going to deal with it. And we are in a battle. And we are in a warfare tonight. But I'm glad greater is he that is in me and in you, and he that is in the world. Amen. Amen. The Lord said, amen. The old devil, I shall not consider my servant Job. And Satan said, oh yeah, I've been trying to get to it. I'd love to sink my teeth into it. I think if I could just get to him, and I can really wipe him out. He said, but there's been a hedge put about it, and I can't even get near to it. I can't reach out and draw him into myself. And I say, thank God tonight, amen, that the Lord has a hedge. Amen, the Lord, my friend, will watch over his own as it relates to our enemy, the devil. You say, I'm going to go fight the devil. You ain't no match for the devil. You ain't smart enough, strong enough. You ain't spiritual enough. Amen. He'll have you turned sideways, amen, amen, and amen. Them old seven sons of Sceva, amen, thought they was going to go jump on the devil one day. And the old devil said, I've heard of Paul, and I've heard of Christ, but who in the world are you? Amen. They went out running through the street naked. Are you listening? You ain't no match for the devil tonight. Thank God you ain't got to be. You got a God in heaven, and David said, the day is coming, and until then I'll rejoice, until the Lord finally does my enemy in. Amen. Amen. Notice with me that David, my friend, points to you and I the punishment of Cush, and God's going to deal with it. But notice with me that though David had the hope that eventually Cush would be dealt with, he still had to learn to survive the snares of the adversary. When David writes this, David is talking about a future punishment. He's talking about the Lord is, in days to come, going to return this upon the head of Cush. And that in days to come, the Lord is going to deal with it. It's not something that has happened yet. And so, but Jerry, he's got to learn, amen, how to deal with the snares that have been set, all the traps that have been laid, all the persecution that has been designed. Amen, David has to learn how to deal with the snares of his enemy. I think this psalm shows you that, how to survive satanic snare. And so I want to preach on that for a few minutes this evening. Amen. For about the next 10 or 15 minutes. Amen. On this thought, surviving satanic snare. Surviving satanic snares. I remind you of that, that the Lord's going to deal with the devil one day. We're not there yet. Amen. Friend, until that day, he'll be walking about trying to find a foothold in your life, and he can absolutely do you in. And so how are we going to survive this evening with such a ruthless foe, with such a wise foe, with a foe that has such hatred and disdain for you and for me, and he'll do all that he can to bring us down? How are we going to make it? Well, I want to say simply this, and I'll kind of develop it in a little different way, a few different ways tonight. But look back in verse number 1, and here's how you survive satanic snare. Now don't blink or you'll miss it. It's real deep. Amen. It'll go over your head and you'll drown. It's so deep. Listen what David said. He said in verse number 1, O Lord my God, in thee do I put my trust. You say, preacher, how in the world do we survive satanic snare? I think David right from the get-go said, I know there's an enemy out there. I'm getting ready to write about all the persecution he brings, said, all the snares he's laid, all the devices that he has, said, a desire he has as the land to rip me up and to leave me wounded and destroyed. But he said right from the get-go, amen, I want you to know, oh Lord, in thee do I put my trust. In other words, it's faith. It is faith, my friend, that causes you and I, amen, to survive satanic snare. It is faith in the Lord. It is faith in the God of glory. It's faith in the one that holds the leash of the devil. It's faith in the one, amen, that can flex his finger, amen, and tell the devil where to go and what to do. Amen, it's the God that controls it all. And David said, it's in him I'm going to have faith. Amen. Are y'all with me tonight? Watch this now. Go to Ephesians 6. Hold your place there. And let me show you from the New Testament so you don't look cross-eyed at me. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 6. And Paul says, hey, you need to put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. You got an enemy, and you need to have all the armor of God upon you. Notice what he said. He said in verse number 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Amen. We gotta have that. It's important in your battle with the devil. He said, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Amen. That's important in your battle with the devil. Amen. And all the devil has designed for you tonight. Amen. You need the breastplate of righteousness. He said, have your feet shod in the preparation of the gospel. And so we got to have that upon us. Notice what he said in verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And so we got to have these pieces, amen, upon us if we're going to enter into, amen, surviving the warfare we're in with the devil. But notice what he said in verse 16. He said before he even got into the armor, put it all on. All of it is important. But he said in verse number 16, above all, in other words, get it all on. But more important than all the other pieces. Amen. If you're going to forget something, don't forget this. If you're going to be lacking in one area, make sure it is not this area. Above all, a man taking the shield, not of holiness, not of standards, not of a King James Bible, but above all, taking the shield of faith. I'm not belittling any of that other stuff. Paul said, above everything else, don't forget the shield of faith. Make sure that you don't quit trusting God. Make sure that through all the things that Satan brings your way, make sure your faith remains intact. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith, notice what he said, amen, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Amen, everything the devil throws at you with, amen, you overcome it, amen, by the shield of faith that is able to quench everything the devil throws at you. There are times, I'll be honest, there are times I go to the Word of God. I know it shouldn't be this way, but Tony, there's sometimes the Word of God's just black letters on a white page. What are you going to do when it ain't alive like it ought to be? That ain't a problem with the Bible. That's a problem with me. Everybody okay? Amen. There are times when you do right and you're still getting wore out. Am I right? There's times, my friend, when you have, amen, you have sacrificed and labored for God and it ain't enough and you feel like the devil's beating your brains out. What's Paul say? He said, if you have faith, if you just keep on trusting in the Lord, that's what David is saying, oh Lord, in thee do I put my trust. I'm going to keep trusting you. No matter how far he chases me, no matter how far he runs me into the wilderness, no matter how many snares he lays in my way, no matter how many lies he tells, no matter how many things he brings against me, I am still going to trust the Lord. I'm not going to trust the preacher. I'm not going to trust the church. I'm not going to trust my mama and my daddy. But I'm going to hold on to the Lord and trust the Lord and have faith in the Lord that the Lord knows what Cush is bringing against me. Amen. Notice with me, I'll hasten on. I don't think this is as exciting to y'all as it is to me. Watch this now in Ephesians, in Psalm 7. Amen. What are the areas of faith that David has in the Lord? Let me give them to you quickly. Right? Three of them real quick. Amen. Notice his faith in the justness of God. Verses 3 down through verse number 8. He said, O Lord my God, if I have done this, if there be iniquity in my hands, if I have rewarded evil unto him that was at peace with me, yea, I have delivered him that without cause is mine enemy. Let the enemy persecute my soul and take it. Yea, let him tread down my life upon the earth and lay mine honor in the dust. Selah. What I'm interested in, I think David is saying, Lord, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know the lies that he's told and the lies that he's spread. And so, Lord, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to have faith that you know what's right and you know what's wrong. You know what's true and you know what's false. And so, Lord, if I've done anything that is true that this enemy has said, and he said, then, Lord, you let him persecute me and you let him do me up and you let me die. You say, what do you say? I'm saying David has faith in the justness of God, in the awareness of his justice. And justness, David knew God was aware of both his innocence, verses 3, 4, and 5. And if we take the time to study it tonight, in verses 8 and 9, David said, amen, O Lord, he said, judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to mine integrity that is in me. And so David is saying, Lord, you know my innocence, you know my integrity, and so, Lord, what I'm going to do, I'm going to lay them both out there before God. And if anything's true that the enemy's trying to say against me, Lord, then let the hammer fall. Lord, you are aware of what is right and what is wrong. Can I say tonight that when the devil gets breathing down your throat, amen, and trying to do you in, amen, sometimes you just got to have faith that the Lord knows what's right and the Lord knows what's wrong. He is aware, amen, of how you've tried to live for the Lord. The devil's a master in lying and creating lies and stirring up strife among God's people. And David said, I'm just going to keep trusting God. I'm going to trust in God has never done me wrong. And God has never let anything befall me that I wasn't deserving of receiving. And so faith in the justness of God, awareness of His justice, notice with me, arising of His justice, David said in Psalm 7, 6 and 7, arise, O Lord, in thine anger, lift up thyself because of the rage of mine enemies, and awake for me to the judgment that thou hast commanded. So shall the congregation of people compass thee about, for their sakes therefore return thou on high. In other words, David knew God was just, amen, and because he knew that, he had faith that God would eventually rise up to David's vindication. God, you know how this enemy has made things difficult on me. God, you know how he's tried to destroy me. And so, Lord, I'm going to rest in the arising of your justness that one day you're going to get so mad about this, you raise up and snatch him by the neck and do him in. Sometimes you just got to keep in mind it ain't always going to be like this. Sometimes you just got to have that faith that my friend, the child of God has called the blessed hope. The Lord's coming one day and every enemy will be dealt with. Every wrong will be made right. Amen. All the ways in which you're trying to serve God, amen, He's aware of it. He'll arise to your, amen, vindication. What did He say in the New Testament? He said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And the day's coming, my friend, death, and the devil knows in that the Lord is going to rise up and deal with him for how he's treated his church. You got to have faith. Faith in the justice of God. Faith not only in the justice of God, faith in the defense of God. Look with me in verse 10 down through verse number 13. My defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. And so David not only has faith in the justice of God, David has faith in the defense of God. A word defense that he used in verse number 10 means a shield or a protector. It comes from another word meaning to hedge about. David is saying the Lord is my hedge. A Lord is my shield. A Lord is my protector. A Lord is the one that is fencing me about. And David has faith that as much as the enemy would like to make it hard on it, as much as the enemy would love to destroy it, as much as the enemy would love to see him fall into a snare and into a pit, David is saying the Lord is the one, amen, that stands between me and the enemy seeking to do me in. Amen. Can I say tonight, I'm glad that we have faith in the defense of God. Amen. We could go to Job again and talk about the hedge. Thank God this evening we understand that the Lord, my friend, stands between the righteous and those doing right and the enemy that we have in the devil who seeks to wipe us out. The word defense, it carries a word picture, if you will, and the word picture is this. It deals with or describes the tough, scaly hide of a crocodile, amen, and implies to you and I that the Lord is an impenetrable defense. When David said that God is my defense, he's not just saying that God's a little pole here and a little pole there, and we got some little, amen, some little shield set up that some little kindergartner made. He's saying God is my defense, and God is like the old tough hide of a crocodile. You ain't getting through. You're not breaking through, because you can try all day long, but you're trying in vain. That God has set himself up in my way, amen, and he is the tough hand, amen, that stands between me and the enemy. And so David said that I'm having faith and God is my defense. Amen. Notice with me, he is a saving defense. In verse 10 and 11 again, he said, my defense is of God, which saveth the upright in heart. Amen. He's a saving defense. How many times had the devil wiped you out had God not defended you? How many times had you fallen to the snare of the enemy? And it was the Lord that, my friend, amen, made a way when it looked like there was no way. Amen. How many times had the fiery dart been flung? And when surely, Brother Tony, done you in, the Lord stood there, amen, in the gap and saved you on the design of what the devil meant for evil. He is a saving defense. We probably don't even know how many times the Lord has stood there and guarded you and guarded me and guarded my family and your family, and how many times that God has been a defense to the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle when the devil, I mean, thought there was an opening, amen, thought there was a chance to sneak in, only to find the Lord stood there as a shield to his people. He is a saving defense. Notice with me in this verse, in verse number 12 and 13, what he said, if he turned not, he will whet his sword. He had bent his bow and made it ready. Notice with me that he is not only a saving defense, but he is a ready defense. He's a ready defense. David describes the Lord, amen, not only as his shield, but as a guardian who stands there, Brother Dean, with a bow that is already drawn there. Amen. He's just waiting to let it go at the enemy. Amen. He's standing there. He is a ready defense. And I say tonight, God ain't ever had to get ready for nothing. Amen. I've had to get ready, and I've had to push my wife to get ready. Somebody say amen. And I'm telling you, we got to get ready. And things catch us off guard, and we don't know what will befall us before the sun gets up in the morning. Can I remind you, the God in glory that saves your soul stands as a defense and is ready for anything. Nothing's ever caught him by surprise. The devil's never snuck up on him. And God one by him. David said he stands there and he is a ready defense. I'm glad the Lord don't have to get ready. Son, there have been times something caught me way out of left field. Y'all ever been there? You didn't even see it coming, and before you know it, it was on you, and you thought for sure you was going down, only to find the Lord was standing there ready and was already had it under control. He's a saving defense. He's a ready defense. Notice with me, faith in the justice of God, the defense of God. I'm done on this. Verse 17, faith in the name of God. I think this is really where it all comes together. Without this, nothing else means anything. Notice what he said, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. When you talk about somebody's name, you're talking about, my friend, authority and character. I think David is saying, I'm going to rest in the authority and the character of the God I serve. You can trust his name. Go back, ask any of God's children. I'm winding down. Sister Candy, come on the piano if you will. Go back, ask any of God's children in the Old Testament. Ask them in that transitional time, the book of Acts, when persecution was on God's people. Amen. Ask them all down through the centuries of time, is God faithful? And without fail, every one of them has to say, God's never failed. What is that? That's his name. That's his character. That name implies authority, that he has authority over your enemy. David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep trusting in his name. And when you get the place, you just trust in his name. David said, you can praise God. David said, he's breathing down my neck. He's trying to rip me up like a lion. He's trying to destroy my life. And I'm just going to rest and have faith in the name of God and shout a while. I know it's easier to preach than it is to live. I'm praying I can get there. Somebody help me pray that. Amen. It's easy to shout when everybody loves you and the devil's leaving you alone.
Amen. Some of y'all devil just got to say boo and you lose your shout. Come on now. Devil pops up, bumps you in the toe, and you're ready to quit on God. David said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to keep trusting in the Lord. I'm going to have faith in His name that He ain't ever failed me. He ain't ever failed God's children. He's always had authority. I'm going to cling to that name that He will never do me wrong. And while I'm doing that, I'm going to shout a while out here. Shout around every snare. Shout around every trap. Shout around every ditch dug. Shout around every lie told. I'm just going to keep on a shouting. Are y'all listening to me? I'm glad tonight we can have faith in the name of our God and maintain some joy in this Christian life even when the enemy rages against us. Lord, we love You. Help us now tonight. Lord, You know how the devil seeks to destroy us. Lord, surely are no match for him. We know that tonight. And so, Lord, we're just going to put our faith and trust in You. Help us, Lord. Help us as a church. You've been good to us. We've seen a lot of blessings, Lord, these few months together. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, I'm aware that, Lord, the devil ain't just going to let us stay there without poking his head up. And Lord, without setting some snares. And Lord, without, Lord, trying to do something to disrupt and make difficult and destroy the work of God. So help us tonight, Lord, in this message, this service, this invitation, Lord, to rest in God, have our shield of faith picked up, ready, Lord, to march forward through every trouble. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Candy's playing. Don't know what you're going through. Maybe you're going through something in your family and the devil's just really made it difficult on you. Won't you come tonight? Renew your confidence in the Lord. Maybe you've been about to give up. It'd be a good night. Just say, you know what? I ain't going to give up. I'm just going to keep trusting God. Maybe tonight there's a child of God, and spiritually your relationship with God's been in trouble. Devil's been wearing you out. This altar's open. Invite you to come tonight. Take up the shield of faith above all. Take the shield of faith. Keep trusting God tonight. One or two's come. Would you mind the Lord this evening? Don't know what you're going to face come tomorrow. You don't know what you're going to face come next week. Better make sure you're ready for it. Oh Lord, in Thee will I put my trust. Trust and obey. Amen. You can look this way. I appreciate you being in the house of the Lord this